Now, our text this evening is found in that passage of Scripture that Lloyd read to us from 1 Peter in the chapter 5 and in verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5, those well-known words, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." They have entitled the sermon tonight, "Human Anxiety and Divine Care." Human Anxiety and Divine Care. In these verses that we've read, we've got to remember that they are applicable to all who name the name of Christ. All who are truly in Christ. Notice how in the beginning of the chapter, Peter is addressing the elders. He says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, the witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not by compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not dominating over those in your charge, but being example to the flock." And of course, he addresses the elders. And then he addresses the younger there in verse 5. He says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility." And of course, he's encouraging the younger Christian to be submissive in a loving way to the elders, as the elders in a loving way must exercise the rule. But then he says there must be this mutual submission. And we must humbly submit one to another. We must be clothed with humility one to another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. In other words, whatever gifts the Lord has given us, whatever graces we have, whatever our ministry is, over and above that, we must be clothed, put on that apron of humility. We're not to project ourselves. We're to serve the Lord humbly. The verses are speaking about Christian humility. But then when we come to these verses that we are considering tonight, and we again must look at them in the context of the verses that have gone before, reminding ourselves that the Lord Jesus Christ himself humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But we need to remind ourselves that Peter is addressing the people of God, and he's addressing those who are passing through a time of suffering, a time of trial, and a time of persecution. And he's first of all saying to them in verse 6 that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You see, humility is here recommended not merely as a submission, as submissively bearing the strokes which God is pleased to let fall upon us, but it is to be seen in the context of the former verse, where we're bearing with one another. And Peter reminds us and exhorts us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, the mighty hand of God can be regarded as the chastening hand of God. But it also can be regarded as the protecting hand of God. In other words, things that the Lord in His providence permits to come about in our lives, maybe for our chastening, but also for our protection. Well, what do I mean by that? Take my watch here, and if I was to place it on the lectern here and then put my hand upon it, underneath that hand is darkness. And you may be saying that you're facing days of darkness and days of difficulty. But in a sense that the Lord's hand is upon you, protecting you. And we need to submit to the providential dealings of the Lord in our lives. Then Peter goes on in that verse, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you. We're reminded in Scripture from Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12 that he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You see, the Lord knows when to exalt us in His own time and in His own way. Somebody has said that the hand that puts us down is the same hand that lifts us. And we're reminded from the book of Proverbs, from the writings of Solomon, that humility always comes before honor. During this past week, I have been reading commentaries on these verses, and one commentator put it like this. He says, the hand that bruises is the same hand that blesses. Isn't that lovely? The hand that bruises is the same hand that blesses. And what we've got to remember is this, that it's the almighty hand of God. Isn't it a thrilling thing to remind ourselves of? That the Lord's hand is upon us, protecting us, seeking to make us a blessing, working out His sovereign purposes within our lives. But secondly, I want us to notice from these verses, and in verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And in the first part of that verse, Peter is exhorting us to entrust our anxieties to Him, to the Lord. What kind of anxieties are we speaking about? Well, again, in my reading of this text this week, I have gleaned 4 points, brief points. First of all, we can think of the anxieties of our body. In other words, anxieties regarding our health. We can bring that anxiety to the Lord. Because Paul, in his writings, reminds us in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything. That includes our bodily anxieties, our anxieties about our health. And then there is business anxiety. Now, I was never in business. I'm not a businessman. I wouldn't make a very good businessman. I can buy a thing, but I'm not good at selling. When I'm going to buy something secondhand, I'm pretty good at haggling. And I'll say to Elizabeth, are you coming with me? She says, no, you go yourself. I would only get embarrassed. But then when I go to sell a thing, I lose my nerve. Now, if you see my telephone number up against something for sale, don't rush around to my house and think he's going to lose his nerve and we'll get it cheap. I sometimes get it right, but I'm not very good. But my dear father-in-law, who is 86 years of age, he was in business up to 20 years ago. He was in his own builder's business. Very godly man. He had two men working for him in this small builder's business, and some days I would say to him, how are you, Robert? Oh, he says, Paul, I've far too much work on. And that was causing him an anxiety. And then another day I might say to him, well, how are you, Robert? Oh, Paul, I've no work on. Men to pay. Bills to pay. Oh, he'd price up jobs for people, and they wouldn't even pay him for pricing up the jobs, and he wouldn't get the job. That was an anxiety. But you know, often I heard him praying about these matters. And then there's family anxiety. There's loved ones that we're concerned for. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about that passage in Mark chapter 9, where we read of the man who brought his son to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of the healing of the boy with the unclean spirit. And we read those beautiful words there in verse 19, that Jesus spoke to the man, bring him to me. Listen to what Charles Haddon Spurgeon has to say on this. He says, desperately, the poor, disappointed father turned away from the disciples to their master. The son was in the worst possible condition, and all means had failed. But the miserable child was soon delivered from the evil one when the parent in faith obeyed the Lord Jesus' words, bring him to me. Spurgeon goes on to say this. The Lord sometimes suffers his people to be driven into a corner that they may experimentally know how necessary he is to them. Ungodly children, when they show us our own powerlessness against the depravity of their hearts, drive us to flee to the strong for strength, and this is a great blessing to us. Are we a family member that's causing us anxiety? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me in prayer. That was one of the reasons I told you that story about Glenn Thrule. And then there is spiritual anxiety. What do I mean by that? Well, Geraint this morning from James chapter 1 was speaking about temptation. And there are times that we're fighting temptations. It's a battle. And it's a battle that's causing us an anxiety.
And maybe we're gripped by guilt, and that's causing us an anxiety. We're to entrust these anxieties to the Lord. But maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord. And you're anxious about your soul's salvation. Maybe the language of your heart tonight is this: when am I going to be saved? When am I going to have an assurance of salvation? When am I going to enter into salvation blessing? Maybe it is that for years you have sat under the gospel. For years you have been in attendance in church and you're not saved, but you're anxious about that. Can I encourage you to entrust that to the Lord? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to these words. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Gentle means that he understands the anxiety of our hearts. Lowly means that he condescends to meet us at the point of our need. Entrust our anxieties to the Lord. Oh, there's other thoughts that I could develop there. Maybe you folks, there's some of you folks have the care of teaching young people, of teaching Sunday school, some other aspect of church ministry. And it causes you anxiety. Cast that upon the Lord. And then finally, I want us to notice from verse 7, our anxieties are his concern. Let me read the verse again to you. It says, casting all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. For he cares for you. How precious are those words. His anxieties, our anxieties, are his concern. Isn't that precious? You see, that care speaks of his loving provision in our time of need. The Lord is able to help in our earthly needs. For we read in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We've read from Philippians, quoted from Philippians this evening, and Paul in Philippians reminds us of the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We read in Scripture of the abundant grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Scripture that the Lord is not forgetful of his people. What we need to remind ourselves is this: that he has you, he has me, on his heart. I was reading in John Brown's commentary on 1 Peter. There's two volumes in that commentary on 1 Peter. I reckon it to be one of the best of the commentaries on 1 Peter. And John Brown says this. When it says he cares for you, he says he takes a kind interest in you.
And then he quotes Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. You see, we cast our care upon the Lord as we come before the Lord in prayer, pouring out our souls before him. If I was to read that verse in the New American Standard Bible, New American Standard Study Bible, and to read the footnote of that verse, it would say, it matters to him about you. Isn't that lovely? That no matter what you're going through, it matters to the Lord about you. Every detail of your life. Listen, even in death, it matters to the Lord about you. When our brother John Morris passed into eternity at 2:30 last Wednesday morning, it mattered to the Lord. The Lord was saying to John, your work on earth done. Come home. Where do you get that in Scripture? You get it in Psalm 116 and verse 15. It tells us precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Why is it precious? Because he's paid the highest price for our salvation. He's died on the cross, and it matters to the Lord about us, about our death. Oh, there are precious thoughts on this text. I was thinking of that verse also in Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. His heart's desire is toward me. Whatever you're going through at this moment in time, whether it is a time of suffering with your health, whether it is a time of trial in your business, whether it's a time when in the providence of God you've been brought low, remember this, that the Lord's heart's desire is toward you. And if you know and love the Savior, when that moment comes, when you leave this earthly life and go to be with the Savior, it matters to the Lord about you. Can I exhort you as Peter would exhort you tonight? As I would exhort my own heart to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, to entrust my anxieties to the Lord, in the assurance that my anxieties are his concern. You know, the last time I was preaching this text, just a few weeks ago, it came very forcibly to my mind as I was preaching. I was asking, well, how do we receive that grace to cast our anxieties on the Lord, because it's not an easy thing. And it came to me, the answer is there in verse 5. That God giveth grace to the humble, but opposeth the proud. And if we're to find grace to cast our anxieties upon the Lord, we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and receive from his heart that grace upon grace to enable us to cast our care, our anxiety upon the Lord. Whatever that anxiety is, be it spiritual, bodily, business, family. Just in closing, let me read to you from in the Living Bible. I don't often use it. I have it in my study, but I thought I would turn to it for these verses. Listen to what the Living Bible says. If you will humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, in his good time, he will lift you up. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Doesn't that put it beautifully?